Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday. The Napier Aquarium is getting a wetter workshop revamp, apparently. Can't wait to hear about that. Kerry missed the turn off to the tunnel. Can't wait to hear about that. And some trade me tips from Marcus. We'll have to wait to hear about those because I've put them at the end of the podcast. But before anything else, when the producers send me stuff, sometimes they just say things like the world according to Leighton. Can't wait to hear this. So I won't.
I think that this is a very important election. Unexpectedly so. But it's one that should not be treated as a burden. One that should be treated as an opportunity, if I can borrow. That instead of saying we've got to tax people more in some quarters, we've got to spend more money on those who are down and out, we've got to socialise more or become more socialist if you want. How about we talk about aspiration and what you can do, what you can achieve, and if you work hard, whatever happened to that, and whatever happened to that good old Presbyterian approach that the Council of Christian Social Services seems to have buried. And don't scoff at it, because it is what makes a society successful. Aspiration, dedication, results. And people feel better for it.
And here endeth the sermon from Leighton. I think he was talking about the election, not entirely sure. How are these people actually performing, these candidates? Rachel's seen them in the flesh, and here's what she had to report.
But the man who addressed that crowd, Morgan the Economist, a lot of what he said resonated with that crowd. And that crowd is what I would call a traditional centre-right audience. Kiwis are working harder, he said, not smarter. The country's stuck in a left versus right ideology. And we kind of are, aren't we, as voters? We think left or we think right. He said we need to think outside the square. Now, I watched that audience throughout the day when they engaged, when they were hanging off whoever was speaking, whenever they were hanging off their every word. And no one, when Morgan was speaking, was glancing down at their smartphones. His views on business, the economy, and inequality, they all resonated. David Seymour, too, was very engaging. You can see why Winston Peters calls him the chihuahua at the gate who's barking at every cat that goes by. He questions and challenges everything. He is that chihuahua. He is barking at every cat. Now, Seymour attracted some interesting headlines at the conference yesterday. He did call a New Zealand First MP an effing idiot. But in the context of his address, that wasn't quite as outrageous as it sounds. But like Morgan, he challenged the audience's way of thinking, the failures that have led to the country's housing crisis, and how you can fix that. His push to raise the super age, tax cuts. ACT will only work with National, but Morgan says he doesn't care who's in power. Actually, his language was a bit stronger than that. He said he didn't give a beep who was in power. He's only interested, he said, in policy and influencing policy. And that can be with the right or the left. What was refreshing, though, about the Business New Zealand conference was that we got to hear in a little more depth about policy, because Lord knows all we've been talking about now for weeks is personalities. That's what we've been focused on. Political personalities. So this is my challenge to you. Seek out some of the smaller parties' manifestos. Now, you're not going to get access to that really in a lot of the mainstream media, but seek them out yourself online. Open your mind to something other than the standard left-right ideologies, because that is the strength, I think, of MMP. How might some of these smaller parties enhance a coalition? At the very least, like I saw yesterday, they will make you think outside the square, and that's no bad thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you get to the ballot paper, you've got to tick inside the square, don't you? I think most people prefer to do that. I'm trying to make a sort of an analogy, a metaphor, something, okay, one of those sorts of things anyway. It may have worked, may not have. I'll let you be the judge. Now, Wetter Workshop has come to the rescue when it comes to the Napier Aquarium. They're giving it a zhush up, apparently.
So 45 million, a lot of money. Where's that coming from? Look, it's going to come from a mixture of different sources. Certainly, we'll be looking at drawing some from the Napier City Council through an LTP submission, but also from private and from community sources. So we've been talking to different parties for over 10 months, and there has been huge support for this expansion. And, yeah, so we don't see a problem in raising that $45 million at all.
And what's the makeover going to look like? What's the design going to look like?
Well, actually, what we're going to do, Larry, as you've mentioned, Weta Workshop is involved, and we are basically giving them a blank piece of paper to work from. And really, we have defined our stories. We've defined the conservation messages that we want to see within that facility. And we're going to hand that all over to Weta Workshop, and they're going to articulate that through their design, through their storytelling capabilities. And we know that they are strong. You've seen what they've done at Te Papa with Gallipoli. So we've got great faith that they are going to create an unforgettable experience.
So hang on, wait. Are they making giant wax statues of marine life? I'm a bit confused. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I mean, I used to like it before. I mean, I haven't been since I was a kid. It may have got a bit run down since then. I know I have. That lady's name is Sally Jackson. Her position is Manager of Visitor Experiences, Napier City Council. It's funny what people do for a job, isn't it? Sometimes. Don't miss the tunnel, especially if you're actually trying to drive through it, Kerry.
And good afternoon, welcome to Thursday Arvo. Kerry and Mark here until 4 o'clock. I'm in my usual place, and my mate coming to you live from the beautiful Hawke's Bay.
Beautiful Hawke's Bay indeed. It is absolutely glorious. Gorgeous day for an aeroplane ride too.
And you made it on time. It was touch and go for a bit there.
I had to ring Mark and warn him that I might not be here for the hour because it was looking very unlikely that I would make the flight because I tried to find the tunnel again.
Yes, I was going to say, for those of you keeping track of Kerry and her adventures to try and find the Waterview Tunnel, she turned off today at Avondale at New Lynn and missed the entrance to the Waterview Tunnel probably by, would we say, 120 metres maybe?
I'm glad you didn't say the adventures of Kerry and her tunnel, but it said Wellsford.
We've only got 4 hours, my friend.
It said Wellsford. There is no indication when you're heading to St. Luke's that...
Well, look, and I know we did discuss this a couple of weeks ago, but I've got the weekend off in the food truck, so shall we tunnel?
Shall we tunnel? That would be good, because I was on the plane, I was sitting next to a lovely lady from... the next suburb over, and she said, oh, isn't that tunnel wonderful? You just get there in no time at all. I'm like, I still haven't found it. And she looked at me and she went, it is quite confusing, but I think she was just trying to make me feel better.
Yeah, and I mean, Mum and Dad are pretty much on the end of the tunnel, so, you know, we can go have a cup of tea with them.
Okay, yeah? That'd be a good idea.
All right.
Yeah, that's a date.
So, obviously, she's got some kind of biological aversion to taking the right exit. I don't know... I think there is a certain amount of FOMOT around, that's fear of missing out on tunnels, out there. Don't worry, it's not going anywhere. We'll all get to use it sooner or later. Unless you never come to Auckland, in which case it'll be more difficult for you to use. Finally, let's finish up with tips for Trade Me, courtesy of Marcus Lush.
You've got to be careful with Trade Me, though, because there have been times in my life where it has been... The winning of the auction has been more important of what I've won. And I have got a shed full of stuff I don't really need. And I'm not quite sure what to do about that. But yeah, it was all about the winning. But there we go. If anyone can actually correct me with the tactic, do you wait and just hover over the computer and get in there with a final bid? Or do you just auto-bid it up the yin-yang and then walk away? Or do you think there's something? So I'd be curious to know if you've got an answer to that one, actually, what your tactics are for Trade Me. Yeah, I've probably been away from Trade Me for 10 years, but I'm now slightly back into it. I won't tell you what I'm buying because I don't want people to outbid me. There's very selective things that I buy. And surprisingly, it's not railway stuff. Actually, some of it's railway stuff.
You can't get locked into a bidding war. You've just got to do the auto bid up to your price. preferably look for something that's just got a buy now on it and just buy it. Because, I mean, like, you don't go out and buy a lotto ticket and just keep buying them until you win. Or maybe some people do, and they probably end up in the same place as the people who get into bidding wars on Trade Me. I am Glenn ZB. Lots of Trade Me advice from me as well. I'm sure it's just what you came to this podcast for. That was News.ZB. We'll see you back here with more useless advice for the weekend edition on Monday.